This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
At the moment, we're going to be talking to the director and the writer of Fire in the Head, which is a new show at La Mama Courthouse. We have the Augie-nominated playwright, Rosemary Johns, and we have the two-times Miles Franklin Award winner Rodney Hall on the line. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
So, Rodney, we're going to start with you. I mean, I know that you're a little short on time because you have to disappear into a show, which sounds exactly like what a director should be doing on a Sunday afternoon. But Rodney, could you tell us a little bit about your involvement in this production and with Rosemary?
Yes, well, I've worked with Rosemary before. In the play about Ned Kelly, which we did some years back in the old jail where he was hanged. So there's a bit of a theme there. But I like the way she writes because it's very fluid and it's not in normal scenes and it's not a kind of domestic motives. It's actually what goes on in her head as she's trying to escape the past and make a life for herself in the present. And that life is blighted by being married to a violent man.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, this is the story of Ned Kelly's sister, Kate Kelly, the not-told-enough story. What was it about this particular script that drew you to it?
It was Rosemary. She got on the phone to me and said, would you do it? I said, you wrote it. I'll do it. Send the play and I'll do it. So... I mean, look, there is a thing at the moment, Eve, as we're all very well aware, there's a certain excitement about there having any theatre at all. And audiences have been fantastic so far because there is this sense of we're back in the theatre and there's a certain magic that we've been without in our lives for a few years. And here it is again. And it's an interesting story because it tends to be forgotten, you know, that she had an international reputation of her own as a circus artist and lived an interesting life. So that's what the play's about. But it is about her hauntings from the murder of her brothers and the hanging of Ned. So it's got a haunted feeling to it.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, La Mama Courthouse is probably a great venue for this kind of thing. It's amazing you did something in the actual jail previously where Ned Kelly was hung.
Oh, it was really moving. It was loaded with terrible atmosphere. But it was brilliant theatre nonetheless. It was brilliant theatre. I'll pass you over to Rosemary now because I'm just being called. So.
Oh, thank you for chatting with us.
Chat. We're excited about it.
Thank you, Rodney. That was Rodney Hall, is the director of Fire in the Head. Now we're going to chat with Rosemary Johns, who is the writer of the production. Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much, Eve. Thank you for having us. It's lovely. You know, it's so interesting, this play. As a writer, Rodney referenced Quilt in the Armour, which I was one of three co-writers. We wrote it years ago. We actually were commissioned first to write it for the commemoration of the Glenrowan siege. And it just so happened, it was more with the women in that story, it was more about Ellen Kelly. But for some reason, between the three writers, I ended up mostly writing about Kate. And because with that play, the trajectory wasn't to follow all the characters through. So what happened was Kate's story finished halfway. And the weird thing was she never left me. She never left my mind. And then in 2007, I don't know if you remember, but there was a gun that was found in rural New South Wales. And they believed that possibly it had belonged to Kate, but that it actually was the revolver, the gun that was used by Constable Fitzpatrick, who was the policeman who assaulted her, which started the whole sorry saga of what happened to Kelly, you know, the killings at Stringy Bark Creek. And so this gun was found, and it's like, it just started this thing in my mind. My goodness, she potentially kept his gun. And then the next thing that happened was that around 2011, there's a researcher up in Forbes, which is where Kay Kelly ended up living under an assumed name, Ada. Meryl Findlay did this fantastic research with the local newspapers, and she found out that the husband of Kate / Ada was a man called Bricky Foster, who was actually had up in court, very unusual in the 1890s, for violently abusing his wife. And he was made to pay a fine of £5, and he left town. A few months later, she had his baby. They had it all in all about, they had quite a few children. But he appeared the night before she died, and then he disappeared. He went back to his work. So nowadays, we would think that was incredibly suspicious. So that started another sort of wheels moving in my mind. And then my nephew married an Irish girl in Armagh in 2015, and I went to Ireland, and, you know, walking the Irish streets, and Ellen Kelly herself was born in Armagh, and I don't know, everything just came flooding back, and I thought, this story isn't finished. I really must write about Kate. Well, it took me a couple more years, and then I started, and I feel now, yes, I got this story out, and the last thing I have to tell you, I don't know if you remember at Victoria Market, there used to be a First Nations art shop selling, it was run by Indigenous artists and owners, and only Indigenous art was sold there. And one time I walked in there, and there was a painting of Ned Kelly, and he's sort of in the Southern Cross. He's in the center of the painting. It's powder blue. And then the man said to me, I want you to have this.
Oh.
I didn't even have to pay for it. He just gave it to me.
Did he? He must have. Did he know your background, or was it just a fortuitous moment where he felt that you needed it?
It was an intuitive moment.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So is that what's now led to you continuing the, I suppose, the Kelly saga and telling the stories more and more and doing more work into it?
Yeah. And I think what's interesting for your view, you know, your listeners, if you know, I would so love if your listeners come to see this show, because you're actually getting it from his little sister's viewpoint. So we look at the early story of what happened with Ned, but it's all from her perspective and how it affected her and the awful impact on her life. And she's very loyal to her brother. And then the steps that lead her to this very traumatic marriage, you know, with a violent man. And especially nowadays, you know, we hear so much about Me Too, because the other part of this story, of course, is her alleged assault by Constable Fitzpatrick when she was only 14. So there's so many issues in the play that are relevant to today.
Yeah,
very much so. I mean, it sounds really interesting. Like, I, some of the themes that I've heard are tackled are obviously violence against women, postnatal depression, suicide, disparity of justice. I mean, one thing, I didn't really know anything about Kate Kelly, because Ned Kelly is always heralded as this, you know, heroic figure in Victorian history. But I had no idea about the depths of this or the efforts she went to try and stop his hanging, or even that police in that period of time were often mostly ex-convicts and not particularly accountable.
Yep. That's right. And run by the sort of rich squatters and, Yes, so there really was. It was such, you know, an unfair society. And it's interesting because there was actually a royal commission held after the uprising at Glenrowan because they wanted to create a republic in the northeast of Victoria. And they actually found that Constable Fitzpatrick, that he was dismissed as a liar and a larrikin. But, you know, by then everything has happened. And, you know, we just forget these things. And it's so important. But the other thing I really wanted to do, even Neil, and this was the Irish part, because, you know, the Kelly, Ned and Kate, their father was a convict from Tipperary, and their mother was a free settler. Her family were free settlers from Ireland. But I really wanted the Irish sense of poetry and the Irish sense of the supernatural in the play.
Yep.
So there's an Irish belief that death is a beautiful young man. And I thought, well, this is really interesting because this play is set on the borderlines of the day when Kate disappears and ends up being drowned. So it leaves much room for the imagination. And in a lot of Australian bush stories, to marry the Irish with the Australian, you often have two men travelling together. So I thought death will have a fiddler with him. And the fiddler is the Celtic. He's very esteemed in the Celtic folk community.
Sorry, Rosemary, we're going to have to just cut it off a little bit here. I'm sorry about the time. The timing is just coming to an end.
Oh no, that's all right. But Peter O'Shea is in it too.
So yeah,
he's a famous fiddler.
Okay, so this is the show that's on at La Mama at the moment, and from the 16th to 27th. Am I right?
Yes.
So it has opened.
Yes.
Great.
I'd love your listeners to come along next week if they're able.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for chatting with us, Rosemary. And for anyone that wants to book tickets, the show is Fire in the Head and it's at La Mama Courthouse. So do check it out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Rosemary Johns here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.